to do in the earth through missions. And part of our missions budget over this past many, many years has been Global Harvest Ministries of Mark Davey. So Mark's going to be here next week. And I just encourage you, if you know someone who needs a miracle in their body, to invite them out. If you know somebody who needs to know the Lord, who needs to make a commitment to God, maybe they've been walking close and getting close to falling into a walk with God, invite them out. It's going to be a great Sunday morning, going to be a great time. I want to ask you to pray about your giving. We'd like to give and start our year giving out to missions. It's one of the reasons we always have Mark here the second Sunday of January. It's just because we want to start out giving out. We want to start out with a vision for the world. Not just a vision for our own selves and our own people, but that God would use us across this great world. Mark just got back, I think 2 weeks ago, from Africa. I think they saw over 90,000 decisions for Christ there in a vastly Muslim area. Areas where they were planting churches, they were introducing the new pastors to the area. They had no Christian work in those areas. So it should be an exciting Sunday of hearing what God has done. And just being a part of it, you guys were part of that. Even as we went to Timmins and we were part physically in that, we went to Africa as we give each month, and we give even on the Sunday when he comes. You're part of that, and you're part of what God's doing in North Africa or in southern Sudan, in the northern part of southern Sudan. So just know that. Invite people. Take the opportunity. Last year when he was here, I think 7 people gave their hearts to Jesus. And so, we'd really, love to see that. That's an amazing way to start a year. So, don't forget. I love New Year's. So, my voice is a little rough today. Forgive me. And if I'm blowing my nose, it's not because I'm crying. It's just because I'm a little bit stuffed up. A couple days ago, I couldn't even talk. So, I'm really happy I can talk this morning. Maybe some of you would rather I couldn't, but I'm here. Praise God. I'm happy. I love New Year's. As I said before, I think it's a time, it's like every other day, really. It's not really that special, but there are times in life where we get to reset, or we get to refocus, or we get to just have a chance to start fresh with a kind of a clean slate. And I think New Year's by nature is one of those times. On our Facebook page, Verse a Day, a lot of the young adults have been just sort of saying what their resolution for the new year is. And a lot of them have resolved to follow God harder, to spend more time getting to know him, to be more in his presence. And I just thought it's cool. It's nothing that, this is sort of something that's grassroots and just came from the young people. And now there's a bunch of adults involved in it. And it's really cool. But this is just, the idea is that at this time of year, it's natural to think that it's a fresh start. It's not a redo. We can't go back and redo life. We can't go back and start over and undo our mistakes and undo the stuff we've done. Although many times we'd like to do that, right? We'd like to rewind life, maybe back to high school or back to grade school and take another run at it with what we know now. But we can't do that. But we could start fresh. And I think New Year's is a great time for that. I'm not big into resolutions. I don't think resolutions are the answer. But every year at this time of year, I set some goals. I have some plans for the new year. I try and seek God and ask him what he'd want for this year. And that's what I just want to talk a little bit about this morning, is that idea that we get to have a fresh start. And how to start this year fresh and how to think about it. Actually, everything I say today, I think can be applied to our Sabbath. Our Sabbath rest. I think that every week, one of the ideas that God had in the idea of a Sabbath was that we could have a fresh start, that we could take time to evaluate our past week, that we could ask some good questions about our past week, that we could take some time to talk to God and spend time in his presence, and that we could look forward to a new week with anticipation and faith. I think one of the things we have to know and understand is this, that it's without faith it's impossible to please God. We have to see God at work in our life because He is at work. God is at work and God has a plan. And it doesn't matter how bad this past week has been for you. Doesn't matter how challenging this past week has been for you or this past year of 2011. This is not going to define your life. This is not God's plan and purpose. Even if it was a great week this last week, or even if 2011 was a great year, I don't think it's the thing that's supposed to define your future. It's walking each day, step by step, with God. It's a walk of faith. It's a believing and trusting in Him and walking each day out with trusting God and hope for your future. I believe that we're put on this planet to make a difference. I love what Brittany said last on Christmas Eve, that you know what? How much do we have to hate someone to know that it's possible to have eternal life and not tell them? You know, like, we live here with an eternal purpose. We're not just walking through this life trying to get through, trying to, like, from age 0 to 20, try and figure out what our career is going to be. From 20 to 65, live out that career. From 65 to however long we live, just try and survive through retirement and get through that time in our life. It's not what life's about. Life is about taking territory and building God's kingdom. Life is about eternal things. It's not about the temporary. And I think we need to understand that. I think we need to understand that so much. So as we sit now at the beginning of a fresh new year, 2012, I just think it's an awesome time to invite the presence of God into our life. I think it's an awesome time just to believe, God, that our best days are still ahead of us. That what we've dreamed about for years could come to pass this year. That maybe that the dreams we have are still too small. Maybe that God would want to touch us in ways and empower us in ways that we haven't yet dreamed about. Maybe that God, you know, in the dreams that we have, whether in home or family or business or in church work or in our walk with God, our spiritual life, those dreams that we've carried, that those things are just too small and that God has something bigger for us. The only way we're going to be able to do that is if we actually walk by faith. We can't just accept that this is the way it is. I realize in our culture that this has been a hard... Ow. Thumbtack in the Kleenex box. Smart aleck. Excuse me. Whoever did that wasn't very nice. Did you plan it? Get a little paranoid now. So this year, I'm really looking forward to God doing great things. I love this because, I'm bleeding now. I'm going to bleed out here on the platform. A lot of people don't believe in like New Year's and resolutions and starting fresh and starting new. But the whole thing about God is that's what it's about. Starting fresh, starting new. It's giving us a second chance. We sing that song, "The Hope for Change, a Second Chance I've Gained." That is so cool. I'm not having fun here. Anyway, I'm getting all distracted. But we can believe that this is what the Bible teaches so clearly, that God is the God of the second chance, the God of the opportunity to start again, the God that's willing to wipe away your past and give you a new start. This is what it says in Lamentations 3, verse 21 to 24. Then I remember something. Here's another challenge I want to put out to you this year. I didn't put it up on the screen this day on purpose. Because I think the screen's cool and I like it, right? It's handy and I like it because when I take notes, I like to take notes. So I can just look at the scripture up on the screen. Carry your Bible, whether it's on your phone or your iPod or whatever, or if you carry a hardcover, softcover, whatever, carry your Bible to church. Open it up once in a while. Put some lines on it. Mark it up, write in it. You know, use it. Get used to talking to God and letting Him speak to you through His Word. Anyway, Lamentations, like, is to lament, it's to cry, it's to whine, it's to weep, it's to, like, carry on, right? So he's gone a little while, Jeremiah, lamenting. He's in his third chapter of lamenting. And he says, then I remember something that fills me with hope. The Lord's kindness never fails. If it had not been for His mercy, we would have been destroyed. The Lord can always be trusted to show mercy each morning. Each morning. In some versions it says, His mercies are new every morning. Deep in my heart, I say the Lord is all I need. I can depend on Him. So whether you're into New Year's resolutions or new first starts or second chances, the Bible's very, very open to that idea. So I think it's cool to have these moments in our life when we can get a fresh start, that we can look at the future and ask God what He has in mind for it. So this morning, I just want to take a few minutes. I think the first thing we need to do is we need to look back. We need to have a second look at our life and what we've just walked through, how we've walked through it. We need to just take a step back. I know a lot of times people say, well, forget the past and press on. And that's what Paul said. He said that. And I think there's value in forgetting the past. But for a moment, I think we have to look at the past. We have to look back, first of all, to give thanks. We have to look back to give thanks. If we're gonna move ahead with any kind of power, with any kind of strength, with any kind of revelation of the goodness of God, we have to stop and give thanks. What a way to end an old year and begin the new, by giving thanks. I know some people have had a nice smooth year this year. It's been a good year for you. Everything's gone well. You know, it's been fine. It's been good. And it's easy to give thanks. And I know there's some people here that have been through hell this year. Been through a lot of hard stuff. Been through some struggles. Been through some health issues. Been through, you know, careers and all these kind of things that are challenging and hard. But even in that, we need to learn to give thanks. We need to learn to stop and give thanks and see God at work. See God's goodness at work. It's easy to see Him in the good stuff. Hard to see Him sometimes when things are tough. Last Sunday morning, we were here at church together. What a great morning. Thanks for showing up, those of you, and thanks for being part of it. I just loved being with our church family. It was so great. Went home, had a nice lunch together, sat down after lunch, and Logan had this little hockey net, and we're putting it together, and we're kind of back and forth about it. He goes, this is a lot bigger than our old hockey net. I said, it's the same. Just bugging him a little bit, just torturing him, really. He's going, no, it's bigger. I said, it's the same. So he went ripping off into our storage area in the basement. And he came out of there with wet feet. And we ended up, like, with our hot water heater burst and water all over the one side of our basement. We had to dump everything, you know, out of the room that was dry and rip out the carpet, throw it out the window. We spent our whole afternoon on Christmas Day until about 9 or 10 at night, cleaning our basement, and then we had no heat in our house, and we, you know, I got a cold, and we had our family coming over the next day, Christine's family, and it was just crazy, bizarre, insane, and like at the end of the day, I was like, God, you're good, because you know what was really cool, is we don't go in that room as a rule, like especially not Christmas Day, we're not going in that room, but God knew we needed to go in that room. And we have a finished side to our basement that's nice. It's got nice carpet. It's got the walls all done, trims done up nice. It's a nice, comfortable room. Well, that water got about this far along the one wall in the one corner into our good room. God knew exactly the right time that we need to see that. And God was there in the middle of trouble. God knows. God sees. I think about when I got hit a few weeks ago. You know, like I was sitting in my car, and the guy was coming at me fast, and I saw him come, so I took off, and he hit me still. It hit me hard. But I just think if I would have been sitting still and with my foot on the brake, it would have been so much worse, and God was good. God was there. He was protecting me. We have to look and give thanks, even in the tough stuff, even in the times where it seems like things aren't good, we need to see God's goodness, because in this life, we're going to have struggle. So This is what it says in Psalms 92, verse 1 to 4. How good it is to give thanks to you, O Lord, to sing in your honor, O Most High God, to proclaim your constant love every morning and your faithfulness every night. With the music of stringed instruments and the melody of the harp, your mighty deeds, O Lord, make me glad. Because of what you have done, I sing for joy. In the act of thanksgiving, we're strengthened. In the act of thanksgiving, we're reminded of the Lord's faithfulness and the Lord's goodness. In the act of thanksgiving, we're reminded that God came through for us when we needed Him to come through. In the act of thanksgiving, we see God's provision and God's supply. In the act of thanksgiving, we see His healing power. We see His glory. We see His goodness. When we stop to give thanks to God for what He has done, we see Him. We see Him. He promised us that in this world we would have troubles. But He also promised us that He would never leave us or forsake us. I've told you this, it says in John 60, verse 33, so that my peace will be with you. He told us this. This is what He told us. In this world, you'll have trouble. But cheer up. I have overcome the world. So you're going through trouble? It's okay. Cheer up. Be strengthened. Be encouraged. God's with you. He's overcome the world. And He's going to help you overcome. There's an old song. I remember we used to sing this back in the Full Gospel Businessman days. We win, we win. Hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book and we win. And it's true, we did. We do win. We get to win. There's going to be some, I don't know, you watch football or you watch some of those sports, hockey, and you see some battle going on to get to the win, right? But there's a win at the end of it. So keep in mind, God has your back. He's mighty and strong and He's done so much for you. The other thing Thanksgiving does is it brings in the presence of God. It brings in the presence of God. It brings us into a place of worship. The Bible says in Psalms, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will come into His courts with praise. Right? So when we come into, when we talk about coming into His gates, it's like walking up to your door and coming into your front porch. Right? And then when you come into the courts, it's coming into the kitchen or into the living room and sitting down and have an intimate place and time with you. Whenever we thank God, whenever we give praise to Him, we come into a place of His presence. So when you're all, and everything's going crazy, stop and give thanks. Stop whining. Stop crying. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. But if we'll stop and we'll give thanks, the presence of God can come into our lives and He'll give us hope. We have hope for a future. We win. We win. Hallelujah, we win. Right? We do. We win. We win. And we need to give God thanks for that. The second thing I think we look back for is to identify our weaknesses. I think that we all need to be a lot more aware that we have a real true live enemy. That the devil hates you. The devil comes to steal from you. He comes to kill you. And he comes to destroy your life. He does. It's what the Bible says. It's what Jesus said. He said he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. The problem with so many of us is that we either don't believe that there's a real devil, or else we're so sometimes passive or even lazy at times or just, you know, just and we by being that way, by not thinking about the battle, by not preparing ourselves for war, we leave the door open so many times for the devil to walk right into our life. We leave the door open and we just keep getting hit in exactly the same way. We get taken out in exactly the same way. For example, for me, one of my big struggles is I can be kind of addictive in my behaviors at times. Like I remember a couple years ago at Christmas, I got an iPod Touch for Christmas. And I don't know if you guys have ever played Angry Birds. But little Angry Birds is a great little game to drive you nuts. If you're not an angry bird when you start, you'll be an angry bird when you finish. But I've got to have 3 stars on every level until the end. And I would just sit there and play it till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and get up again at 7 and go to work. And then I play it all night. And, you know, and I'm like that when I read. I read like forever and ever, amen. And I've had to start building boundaries in my life to prevent myself from getting caught up in things and losing track of the real important things. That might sound stupid to you, but for me, it's a real battle because I just get into something and I want to do it. Like, I don't remember if you guys remember when I got into golf. I was bringing golf up, you know, for illustrations when I was preaching because all I want to do is go golfing every day. I just couldn't, you know, like, it's working. I want to go to golf. Why am I in this office? I want to golf. And now I haven't golfed in 2 years. Don't care. You know? But I get all these. So I had to get rid of the iPod because it was too big of a problem. So I had it for 2 weeks. And I got rid of it. I mean, this year for my birthday, I got a tablet. I had it for 2 days. I got rid of it. I couldn't keep it. It does not work for my personality because each one of us has a weakness or a sin that easily besets us. Right? This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I love this verse. I always love this because it's the end of chapter 11. And it's talking about all these great heroes of the faith. And it says that they're not complete without us. And then it goes on to say, such a large crowd of witnesses is all around us. So we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go. And we must be determined to run the race that's ahead of us. This is what Matthew Henry's commentary says about that sin that won't let go. It says, by the sin that does so easily beset us, understand that sin to which we are most prone or to which we are most exposed from habit, age, or circumstance. This is a most important exhortation. For while a man's darling sin, be it what it will, remains unsubdued, it will hinder him from running the Christian race as it takes from him every motive for running and gives power to every discouragement. I'll read it again. By the sin that does so easily beset us, understand that sin to which we are most prone or to which we are most exposed from habit, age, or circumstance, this is a most important exhortation, right? That we set aside that. For a while a man's darling sin, be what it will, remains unsubdued, it will hinder him from running the Christian race, as it takes from him every motive for running and gives power to every discouragement. Until we get a grip on where our weaknesses lie and start to deal with them in discipline and through the power of the Holy Spirit and God's grace, we're going to struggle and struggle and struggle. And we're going to get discouraged and we're going to get distracted and we're not going to find hope and meaning and power in our lives. We need to get at it. We need to be serious. The Bible said, be circumspect, right? Right, like a dog when it walks around and it's checking out the spot it's going to lay down in. And then it lays down. That's circumspect. It's carefully looking around you and seeing what's around you. We need to live that way. We need to understand that we're vulnerable to that. And then we need to seek God's help and wisdom and grace to overcome that darling sin. Right? That sin that we just seem to fall into. The third reason we need to look back is to evaluate who we lived for. I think this is really important because being a pastor, sometimes it's easy to say for me, well, I live for God. I'm a pastor. I pastor. I like study the Bible every week. I got to preach every week. Sometimes 3 times I got to teach people and I got to be praying and I pray for people and I'm like doing this work and it's all about God. But so many times when I sit at the end of my week and I evaluate that question, who did I really live for this week? A lot of times it was for me. A lot of times we need to understand who we're living for. Right? I think that times of reflection and even times of solitude as a Christian are important. I'm not a good solitude guy. I don't like really being alone very much. But I've had to discipline that into my life so I could stop and hear God's voice and allow God to speak to me about what's going on, for Him to be able to look inside of me. We need times of quiet to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with our hearts and to help us to live life God's way. Should be our desire, right? To live life God's way, right? It should be. That's what we should want. We should want to sit back at the end of a year and say, I lived life God's way. Like Paul, to say, I've run the race. I finished my race. I'm ready to go on now, right? So it's possible for us to live that way. We need to find ways to evaluate. I really believe that a New Year's is a good time to look back and ask, how did I spend my life this past year? And whom did I live it for? Did I live it for my family? Because that's nice, but it's not God's way. We've got to take care of our families, got to love our families, but I can't live for them. I got to live for God, for His kingdom. Right? Did I live for my job, my career? Well, again, we should put effort in. We should work hard. We should give our best in everything we should do. We should leave everything on the field, right? We should give it our all. But living for your job, living for your career is not what life is God's way. You know, whatever it is, the only way to really live God's way is to live for God. It's not an exercise. When we reflect, it's not an exercise to make us feel guilty or to get us stuck in a rut or in a hole and whip ourselves and say how bad we are and how we'll never make it, we'll never be good. It's an act of tuning up and calibrating our life so that next year could be better than the year before, or next week could be better than the week before. Even if last week was great, even if last year was great, God still has more. What you live in today, it does not take faith anymore. And God is, the Bible said, is pleased by faith, right? To please God, you have to live by faith. David said this in Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. Examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and know my thoughts. See whether I am on an evil path. Then lead me on the everlasting path. Right? He's saying, like, test and see if I'm on my own road. And if I am, help me to get on your road. Test me and see if I'm living life my way. And if I am, help me to live life your way. That's what David was asking. That's what we should ask. Here's some of the questions I like to ask myself. And I do this, I guess, like almost every week when I have my day off, my day alone. I ask a lot of these questions of myself. How could I include the Holy Spirit more in the decisions I make more often? How can I do that? Have I even in this past week or this past year included Him in making decisions? Or have I just gone and done it in my own strength and my own wisdom? It's a good question. Is Jesus really Lord of my life? He's my Savior. Is He really the Lord? Do I really give Him absolute sway in my life? Do I give Him the absolute final say in everything? Do I allow Him to be the King and the Lord of my life? Am I keeping in fellowship with God? Or am I breaking fellowship? It's raining, just in case you're wondering. I'm not making that noise. Here's the deal. This is one thing we learned at Young Adults. I want to just pass it by you. I think it's a cool idea. When we give our hearts to Jesus, we come into a relationship with God. You know, we become sons and daughters of God. We're in relationship with Him. That relationship, no matter what my sons do to me, they're my sons. They're never going to not be my sons. They are my sons. But we, many times, can break fellowship. Right? Fellowship is that interaction between us, that open line of communication, that heart-to-heart, being able to look each other in the eyes and really love each other, truly and honestly. Most of us stay in a relationship with God. Many times we break fellowship with God. Am I living in fellowship with God? Or am I breaking fellowship? Because the Holy Spirit's not going to break fellowship with you. He'll move off when you reject Him. He'll move off when you live in sin and by that reject Him. But he won't be the one to say, I don't want to be with you. He's going to be there. The Bible said he'll never leave you, never forsake you. So are you staying in fellowship? Am I staying in fellowship with him? That's the question I ask. Are there things I need to let go of or give up on? Because sometimes we think we start something, we got to keep going with it. That if we start something, we got to stay committed to it and finish it out. There's some things we just need to quit. Among them is not, you know, married life and friendships. But there's some things we just need to quit. There's some things we're doing that are not advantageous and we need to quit. I ask God that question. Are there things I need to pick up and run with? Are there things, God, that you're calling me to do that I'm not yet doing and I really need to get going on? Do I lead my family to Christ as the head of all things? Or am I just, you know, a dad? Do I actually bring God into my life and into my children's life and into Christine's life? Do I do that? Am I really a spiritual leader in my home? I think take time most weeks to think of those type of things. I think this time of year is a great time to ask yourself those kind of questions. It's a fun time. Happy New Year's. Kiss somebody beside you, whatever. You know, but it's also an important time of retrospection. Looking back, seeing what God's done, thanking Him for what He's done, looking at where you were weak in the past year, finding ways to strengthen it, and then also just asking God to search you and examine your heart. Second thing I think we need to do is to stop and get wisdom for the Lord for the future. This is a great time of year to just rope off some time to seek God about the future and His plans for you, your family, or your business. I don't think this is ever going to end up being that God drops a map on the table and says, this is your life, Ralph. You're 47 years old. You're going to live to 87 or 97, and this is what you're going to do each day. Because that's not a life of faith. But what God's going to do is start dropping in your heart next steps. Next steps. What is the next step for you? What is it that you should be doing? What's maybe a month down the road or 2 months down the road that you need to start thinking about and doing? And then we need to walk out those steps with God. I really believe that if we ask God and seek God for those next steps, we could do it with a lot of discouragement and frustration in our life. I think a lot of times we're just not seeking God. We're living our life our own way. And then asking God why when things go bad. And we need to start living life on the offensive. We need to start planning ahead with God. Seeking God's will, God's way. And then we need to walk out the next steps with faith and in faith, that God will reveal more as we need to know it. So many times we want to know the big picture. We want to see everything. But what we really need to see is how do we live today? And how do we live tomorrow? And how do we decide to take this thing next? God never wanted you to go off on an adventure by yourself. To see all by yourself and then check in at heaven's pearly gates and see how you did. Right? He didn't just say, here's where I want you to end up. This is like the amazing race of life. And you get to heaven, if you get there first, you get in. Right? God wanted to walk with us every day as intimate friends. And then as we walk with God and we walk from this life to the next, we're just walking down a new path with a close and dear friend. Right? I'm afraid a lot of us will get to heaven and we'll meet a stranger because we didn't take time to be with him here. I really feel like, you know, God really wants to draw near in our lives. We need to draw near to him. The Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I love this scripture. Genesis 5 verse 22. To 24. It's in the begats. And after that, Enoch lived in fellowship with God. In fellowship with God. For 300 years and had other children. He lived to be 365 years old. He spent his life in fellowship with God. And then he disappeared. Because God took him away. I mean, that was Enoch, right? But why can't we live in fellowship with God? Like imagine, like I imagine, that one generation someday is going to just walk off and be with God. A whole generation. But like we can live with God here. There's nothing. Even when Enoch lived, there was sin. There was all kinds of problems, but he walked past a lot of that in relationship with God. But in our life, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the redemption of the cross. We have everything we need to live in a life with God that's free and clear. We get invited into a relationship and fellowship with the God of the universe. So why not walk into that? Live your life for God and His plan in mind. And all these things in the new year will be better than they were in the past year. I was thinking, Christine and I were talking the other night, we were just talking about heaven, right? And a lot of times people think about heaven, and they think about pearly gates, and they think about mansions and streets of gold. Because somehow in our lives and in our thoughts, we're so geared to the stuff, right? Think about this, that you're going to be able to sit with somebody, and you're going to be able to trust them implicitly. There's nothing held back. There's no one is going to ever use you or abuse you ever again. There's never going to be wrong motives. There's never going to be an idea that somebody's going to like take what isn't theirs. There's never going to be gossip. There's never going to be those things. It's going to be beautiful and clear and clean. And what I have is yours and what you have is mine. And there's nothing holding back. Think about relationships in heaven. This is the relationship we could have with God now. And I think if we really focus and live for God, we could start having these kind of relationships even here. Open, transparent relationship based on love, unconditional love like Christ had for us. But it's going to take living with God and fellowshipping with Him. We take time in this time to spend some time with God. Just invite the Holy Spirit. Crack open your Bible today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't just sit here in church and say, okay, well, I did it. It was church today. I don't need to open my Bible today. But crack open your Bible today and sit before you read it and just say, Holy Spirit, You're the great teacher. Teach me something today. Show me something new from Your Word today so that I can know You more, so I can have fellowship with You that's cleaner and clearer and more open. And then tomorrow, do the same. And tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, 365 days this year, seek God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, if you seek me, not 11, verse 13 says, if you seek me, you'll find me, if you'll search for me with all your heart. Invite God into your life today. Let Him be part of 2012. Let Him be what it's about this year. The last thing I think we need to do is to look forward with faith and expectation for what God is about to do. I can guarantee you this year you're going to have trouble. If you had trouble last year, you're going to have trouble this year. The Bible says, while you live in this world, there will be trouble. You will promise you have trouble. I guarantee you this year you're going to face conflict. I guarantee you this year there's going to be times where you are going through stuff that you wish you weren't going through. But I guarantee you this. If you will take some time and you'll spend with God and you'll get close to God and you'll really seek God with all your heart, this will be a better year. This will be a greater year for you. This will be a year where the presence of God comes into your life in such a powerful way. I really believe this with all my heart. It's the presence of God that makes the difference in our lives. And it's not all spooky and woo-woo. It's not that. It's an abiding, knowing that God is with you and that He'll never leave you, that He'll never forsake you. And if you allow Him to do that, He'll make you attractive to your spouse. He'll make you attractive to your children. He'll make you attractive to the people around you. And people will be led into God's kingdom and you'll make a difference this year. I guarantee you, if you'll live this year walking with God 365 days, or even more days than you did last year, that God's going to be with you and it's going to make a difference. I promise you. God loves you. He has a great plan. Expect great things from Him in this year. If one of the ushers could go get the kids from kids' church. What we want to do this morning is this. I'm just going to get the head of each home. And if you're here and you're single today and you don't have a family with you, then grab a family around you. Just join with someone else. And we're going to just get the heads of the homes or someone from the home to come up and get the communion. And I want you to get into your family groups or into some groups of friends. And let's have communion. Let's just serve it to each other. And let's just take some time to just reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus as we enter this new year. So your kids will be coming in shortly. If you guys want to start coming on up, you can come up.